And welcome to the Beloit Daily News Sports Podcast. This is Josh Flickinger, our annual NFL preview podcast. We are short a few people due to some, well, frankly, foreseen circumstances in which, the men of the house clearly did not put their foot down. Ryan Mueller is gone on a family vacation, which is ridiculous. Unacceptable. Brent Swanson, equally unacceptable at some sort of Labor Day weekend barbecue. But the three MVPs are here. This is Josh Flickinger speaking with you. My semi-regular co-host, Rob Lucas, and also Dan Merrill. Now, our local panel of football experts, down a few, but I feel like this is going to go well. We've got an interesting season coming up. We're going to start with the Bears, and by start, I mean kind of get this out of the way for the Bear fans listening. I think there's a fundamental difference here with Dan and Rob, and I'd like for you guys to go into it just a little bit. Rob is excited for the season. Dan is not as much. Rob, go into your reasoning why you're kind of looking forward to the 2017 season, despite the prospects maybe not necessarily being so high for your team.
Yeah, I only see the Bears winning like 5 or 6 games. You know, if like something were to break right or someone's actually good, 7 games, like at the very, very most. But we have a quarterback that could be good for the first time in our lives, and not like a Jay Cutler. You know, like I love Jay. I still love Jay. I still love Rex, actually. Yeah. We're going to go back that far.
Kind of.
But it's someone who is accurate, poised, and it's preseason. We saw it in preseason. But he showed kind of a knack in the pocket, which I think was Jay's biggest bugaboo, is he never sensed anything in the pocket. And ever, like, he would just stand there like a stone, and then the ball gets stripped. He's like, where'd that guy come from? Well, it came from your horrible left tackle. So I think we finally have a cornerstone to build on, and as I think we all would agree, like, without a quarterback, you don't win. You know, so, like, I don't care if the Bear, you know, if Trubisky's not that good, you know, and it turns out in 3 years I got to go back to the well, you just keep going back, because without a quarterback, you can never, ever win in this league. That's why the Lions just paid Stafford $100 gazillion.
Right. Well, Dan, well, I guess before we go to Dan, my first question is for Rob is, does it temper your enthusiasm a little bit that it appears as though, you know, Mike Glennon is going to get several starts here? What are your hopes, providing that Glennon is less than spectacular? Like, what do you think, and what are your hopes for the amount of playing time that Trubisky will actually receive this year?
I would, unless Glennon turns, like, in the plays much better than even I could play with him on Madden, I think he gets 4 to 5 starts. Okay. And then at most, and then Trubisky plays from there. And I'm okay with that. I still think he probably has a lot of the playbook to learn. He has a lot of preparation stuff to learn. And, like, the defenses you see in preseason are clearly not the defenses you see in actual games. And I think it will help that the Bears' defense looks like it's going to be actually pretty decent, so they can put some stuff, exotic things to him in games or in practice. But I'm okay with him sitting, you know, a few games early on. Especially as they kind of shake out the offensive line, maybe wait for Kyle Long to get back healthy for the 4 games. He's going to be healthy this year. And then, you know, see where they go from there.
Okay, Dan, your thoughts.
Well, you mentioned that they took a quarterback, and you can take one every 3 years. Well, part of the process I don't like here is that your third year in as a draft as Ryan Pace, the general manager, you finally select a quarterback. What took so long? You know, you should have coveted someone well before this third year. And then how the entire draft weekend went down, I was not happy with that at all. Seeing from all indications, they didn't need to give up the assets that they gave up to move up. And then they doubled down in the second round with Anna Shaheen, another boom or bust kind of guy. And it just didn't seem like they didn't get a whole lot of value in this year's draft. And I wish they would have taken a quarterback earlier before this year. I am intrigued by what I've seen from Trubisky, but I'm glad you brought up Stafford, because that's kind of, to me, what his ceiling is. I think he is Matthew Stafford. I think he reminds me of that. He's mobile. He's got a big arm. Has some pocket presence to him. Whereas, and at the end of the day, if they have Matthew Stafford, that still doesn't make me feel that much better about where they're going as an organization, because I don't think their roster has improved over the 3 years that Ryan Pace has taken it. I mean, I just don't see the depth. I don't see the young players that are the standouts that are the core in these three drafts yet that are going to be the building blocks for a team that can make the playoffs on a consistent basis. Sort of like the Packers have for how many years in a row now? This 10 years or whatever it happens to be. I don't see that core of players being built here to sustain success.
I personally think it's really way too early to say his ceiling is Matt Stafford. Who, first off, Stafford is good. We know he's not.
Yep.
He's not Rodgers, but he's not Matt Ryan or anything like that. But I mean, like, for a guy who's only played 3 preseason games, to say he's going to be Matt Stafford at his height, you know, you don't know yet. Just because
I'm saying that's best case scenario for him to me in my world.
I think best case scenario could be a top 5 quarterback in the NFL, because he's a number 2 pick who is extremely accurate and very mobile and seems really smart. He doesn't make a lot of bad decisions,
mm-hmm.
which I think is like the difference between like Deshaun Watson and Trubisky, who my brother was huge on Watson, thought he was going to be the best quarterback ever to be taken this year. And what you see is Watson throwing the ball up and making a lot of bad plays. I don't think you'll see Trubisky make those bad plays. I think he'll throw the ball away. He'll avoid and you'll get a yard or two. He won't try to fire it where he doesn't need to. And then he'll be able to grow and build off of that. I think the Kevin White injury was devastating for them. And I don't necessarily blame Pace for that. I don't think that that's fair to blame a guy in an injury. But it's on his record, and that is really, really bad, because their receiving core is poor. Sure. It is poor. And when you're praying for Tanner Gentry to get through waivers because he might be your best receiver, like, so he can be on the practice squad, that's really concerning for them. But I think there are some good players, like Darrell Freeman last year, not a drafted guy. He was great. I met a linebacker when he wasn't getting caught for steroids or whatever he was doing. I think Leonard Floyd's going to be a good football player. Cody Whitehair is a very good football player. There's some guys to build on. They need, obviously, a lot more. Eddie Jackson looks like a player from this year's draft. At least he's going to start for the Bears secondary. But, yeah, I mean, they need to get more guys. They need to draft more. But I think they at least are trending in the right direction. I think that, like, the 49ers and the Jets are in a different bad class than what the Bears are.
So what is your best case scenario, Rob? You're a huge tank guy. So, mm-hmm. you know, you mentioned, you know, approaching that NFL hell of 8-8. You know, if they go 7-9, it would be good, because on one hand you're going 7-9 with young players that you're going to develop, kind of like the Brewers are this year. Hey, it's not bad, even if they don't make the playoffs, that they might end up around 83 wins mm-hmm. because they're doing it with people that are going to be the core for the next couple of years. But wouldn't you rather see them go 4-12 in some regard and get another top 5 pick?
I think you tank for a quarterback like that. And okay. Now we have our quarterback and positions that they really need, cornerback. They really need some receiver help. You know, they could use, you know, a defensive lineman of some kind somewhere.
Offensive tackle,
like a right tackle could be very useful. I think you can get those in that 8-17 range more often. Like, you're not taking a lot of cornerbacks top 3. I saw, like, obviously it's a super early mock draft where a team had him taking a running back in, like, with the 5th overall pick. You know, it's just stupid things. Like if teams are going to be dumb and take a running back early, it's just going to slide a type of player that they need back down. So I think, yeah, like, I'm fine with the 14th pick. You know, like, that would get them a good player. You know, if they had a top 5 pick, maybe one of the quarterbacks is they trade back with somebody. But I think that they will be okay with one of those middle picks, and I would like to see Trubisky's success.
Well, Dan, do you agree on the Trubisky plan? Do you think that it just seems early to me? I don't know. I think Glennon is doing fine.
I don't
fine.
See what the rush is at all. I really
yeah,
don't.
I think he's going to start.
He's not ready. If he is, so be it. But and really, at the end of the day, is this John Fox's last, you know, serenade with his team? It sure seems like it is from all the talk that he and Ryan Pace don't get along. So if that's the case, why are you bothering with it? I'd let him sit. Let him learn. Get him acclimated to the league. There's no rush in this season. There's If you want to get his feet wet in certain games, so be it. But I just don't see the point of throwing him out there this year. That's just me.
Well, I think it just comes. It really comes down to Glennon.
Yeah.
Like, if Glennon is playing well, then they
do
let
Do you think that's going to happen?
No. I don't.
Do you,
at
Dan?
All.
Do you think he could be just, like, an okay guy? Like a Jim Miller 2001 kind of, like, all right, he's not losing games for you?
I don't see that. I didn't.
Okay.
I wasn't
you don't like
about,
him.
I didn't like the signing, but at the end of the day, was the whole Glennon signing about two things? One, actually using some cap space that you really had to use. And two, maybe to throw people off, probably your interest in Trubisky.
Right.
If he was that excited about Trubisky, maybe you want to throw people off by saying, hey, you know what? We're going to spend $18.5 million on Mike Glennon. You know, maybe that's
it's an expensive
part of it.
Diversion.
It is, but at the end of the day, you still have to spend that money in the NFL. So.
And, yeah, and I think it's worth a shot where if Glennon is good, you know, if he is a top 15-ish, top 20-ish quarterback, something clicks, whatever, it works, you could trade him next offseason, even for a fourth-round pick, fifth-round, whatever. Like, you could get something for him next year if he's decent, because you see what quarterbacks get. You know, you see what Sam Bradford got going into last year when guys get hurt. So I think, like, the gamble's there. It doesn't really cost them anything next year to cut him, like $2.5 million to cut him next year. They'll have plenty of cap space still. I think it's worth the gamble, and also the protection, you know, for Trubisky in case he wasn't ready, because clearly it looks like Deshaun Watson's not ready, you know, but Deshaun Kizer seems to be a little more prepared. You know, like, you don't really know what you're getting until you get the guy in your building.
Well, what are your guys' thoughts on, you know, the rest? We'll start in the, as we always do on this preview, with the NFC North. Do you see any team, could the Vikings, you know, could they rise up and challenge the Packers for a division? Do you see Detroit perhaps being improved? What are your thoughts on those teams?
I definitely thought Detroit last year was had a lot of fortuitous breaks to go their way. They were winning games they had no business winning, and it kind of caught up to them at the end of the season. Maybe that's the Vikings this year. I definitely don't see the Bears being that team. I mean, like you said, at their peak, they'd be a 7-win team. So it's a one team race, and I don't foresee either other teams making the playoffs in this division.
Do you think that, you know, if you see a lack of maybe strength in the North, do you think that the Packers can take advantage of that on their way to a really superb season, like a, you know, a one seed season, like a 12 or 13 win season? Do you think they have that in them, or are they more like in the 10-11 range?
If you're looking at it, the Cowboys definitely overplayed last year. They don't have a defense, and they had two rookies that stepped up and played very well. Atlanta, I mean, you try to convince me that they're not going to have a Super Bowl relapse like every loser has for like 25 years. So there has been. So, you know, who else out there is going to be that number one seed in the NFC? I mean, I don't see Carolina or Tampa Bay, which seems like a trendy pick for a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's the Seattle Seahawks, by the way.
It is the Seattle Seahawks?
It's the Seattle Seahawks.
Well,
it is. Yeah. They're the only one.
Yeah.
I think.
Well,
the Atlanta could.
Which makes, you know, you never want to overstate the importance of early season games, and I think maybe the Packers proved that when they started out last season 4-6 and ended in the NFC title game. But, you know, week one, kicking off, you know, in a week, Packers against Seahawks, it's a bigger game for the Packers because it's incumbent upon them to protect their own turf. But if your presumption is that, hey, the Seahawks are going to challenge, then you essentially, whatever team wins that game, it's essentially a two-game swing because you're going to, there's your tiebreaker right there. So is that a huge game then for the Packers right off?
I think it's huge for the Packers. I think, because don't they play Atlanta week two?
They do, at Atlanta, stadium.
Those two games are enormous
for
them because it could come out of home field. Like, unless Rodgers gets hurt.
Sure.
You know, and I'm not going to knock on wood when I say that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's a real classy move.
Unless he gets hurt, they're winning that division, and they're going to win, you know, 10, 11 games as a floor, I would say, for them. Because they're probably going to beat the Bears twice. A good chance to, be, you know, take 3 of 4 from the Vikings and the Lions.
So maybe those games aren't as important then. Maybe if you're looking at almost 5 of 6 games winning in the –
But I think if you look at Seattle, they get 2 wins against the 49ers. They get two wins against the Rams. You know, like, it's not like they're playing world beaters over there at all.
Well, I think if you look at, from a Packers fan perspective, that, you know, they played in I think 3 NFC title games now in Rodgers' tenure, and they won one. They've won one. But all 3 of them were on the road, you know, and if you can get a team, and granted 2007 didn't go the Packers' way against the Giants, but generally, you know, if you can get a team in Lambeau playing for the Super Bowl, boy, I mean, I don't know that they would have beaten the Falcons in any stadium last year based on how banged up their secondary was, but the frozen tundra as opposed to the lightning fast Georgia Dome could have made a difference there too. So I think as a Packer fan, yeah, it's an embarrassment of riches to be thinking, oh, you know, 10-6 in a division title isn't good enough. But I do think they have the roster to be able to get to that kind of next level and at least, you know, get that bye. And you know, quit making it so difficult for themselves, which is what they've done in the past several years, where they've had to go on the road. You know, they had to go on the road once last year before the title game, had to go on the road a couple times, you know, in Washington and Arizona the year before. And so for the Packers, if they can get that one seed especially, then it's going to – they could be a tough team to beat.
Well, but as a Packer fan, as the only Packer fan here of maybe the Cat, how many times does 10-6 in the playoffs, like, when is it just not going to be enough?
Yeah, we might have even talked about this last year on the same podcast, and it remains a valid question. Like, did Ron Wolf screw up Brett Favre's prime by not giving him enough receivers? Is Ted Thompson slow rolling this, and he's just not ever in win now mode, and you have a chance to make. Yeah, I mean, I think that there's legitimate arguments to be made, but I just think the more time you put yourself in that position, mm-hmm. the greater the odds are that you're going to grab not just one, but maybe two or three. And by constructing the roster, which they have, every year they've got a chance. You know, they're never like, oh, we're really going to take a step back this year. You know, it's going to be, you know, maybe 9-win season. You know, every year they have the chance to win 11, 12 games and get another chance at another bite at the apple. So it hasn't turned out the way they wanted. Obviously, one Super Bowl for Rodgers and that's it. One Super Bowl appearance even, and just, you know, 3 games in the title game, 3 years in the title game. But no, I mean, I'm not too bitter about the way they played out. And I do think it's interesting that Thompson this year has gone after a few of those free agents. You saw Marty Bennett. And Ahmad Brooks is such an interesting move because it's the move that, granted, most of the time it's wrong. Either it's wrong and you spend money that you shouldn't have, or it's just simply an ineffective guy you're bringing in because he's too old. But like the Ahmad Brooks thing is this exact signing that Packer fans have been clamoring for years for him. Like, just do it. You have cap space because we always have cap space. It's a position of need. He's a veteran. He knows how to play. It's like a Neil Walker type thing on baseball, you know, like, you know, he's going to help you out. He's not going to cost a lot of prospects, or in this case, a lot of cap space. Well, he finally did that. I thought that was a really interesting signing and really a more aggressive approach in bringing in Bennett and Kendricks in the offseason.
Yeah, and I mean, I think when you look at a Brooks type guy, he's a run stopper. You know, like if he's a first and second down guy, that's all you need him for. It's not like the Bears have to bring him in for, you know, three down guy and be a superstar for us. He just needs to play okay.
Yep, exactly. So we don't think the Vikings are necessarily here to, you know, provide a Super Bowl run. We're not sure the Lions are going to even be a playoff team again, and the Bears, you know, maybe around that 5 or 6 win mark. What about the Falcons? You mentioned, Dan, not necessarily sold on them making a return trip to the Super Bowl?
No, definitely not. I mean, if you go back to the track record of what is it, the last team to go back to the Super Bowl that lost, it was, what, the 93 Bills?
So yeah.
Talking a long, long time that this has happened. Although, to your point, though, they steamrolled their way through the Packers. I'm pretty sure they beat down, was it the Seahawks or somebody last year in the playoffs?
I think it was the Seahawks, yeah.
So they dismantled probably the two teams that we've talked about the most so far in terms of being the best, the number one or maybe two contenders in the NFC aside from them. So I just don't think I guess the break's got to happen at some point. Someone's got to go back after losing the Super Bowl, especially in the fashion that they blew that game. So
the Packers in the North. What about the Panthers for a bounce back year? Anybody like them?
Someone has to win that division, right? I mean, I don't love Dallas. Is that Dallas?
No,
me, sorry.
It's Atlanta. Yeah. Atlanta, I mean, Carolina, yeah.
Or Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Tampa Bay.
I like Tampa Bay.
Like,
yeah. I do like Winston Jameis another year. And I think that their offense will be good. I think Carolina's probably like 8-8. You know, again, like in the NFL, anybody could be 10-6 if they're going to be 8-8. You know, a couple of swings either way.
Right.
I'm not scared of them at all. Like, if I was a Packer, I wouldn't be worried about Carolina. Same with, I wouldn't be worried about Tampa, but I think they could be a much better team than what they were.
What about out west? Can anybody contend with Seattle?
No.
Well, San Francisco is bad. The Rams are bad. I mean, that should be 4 wins right there for the Seahawks. And who am I missing?
Arizona. Who's fine, but...
Yeah, I mean, that's a 7-9 win team at best. So it looks like the road is pretty clear for the Seahawks. And yeah, that's, you know, thinking about it now, really for the first time, that game, which I'll be in attendance for, by the way. The old Packer Seahawks game.
As a press member?
Or? No, as a member of Packer Nation. Ooh. Yeah, it's an exciting day for me. But
is there a difference from the Packer Nation and the Packer Press? Like, I don't really know if there's a big difference.
Oh, there is a big difference. If I'm up in the press box pounding on the glass, that's going to be a big problem.
Well, if your shirt's off, it's going to be a big problem.
If my shirt's off as a fan, there's going to be a big problem, actually. But yeah, it's a huge game. What about over in the AFC? I mean, obviously you have to start the conversation and maybe end the conversation with the Patriots. Anybody else you guys like over there in the inferior AFC conference?
I mean, obviously the Oakland Raiders were on the come last year. They were really,
before Carr
got hurt at the end of the season. Probably looking for them to regress a little bit from that. That just seemed like that team that caught fire and still has enough holes on it. The Chiefs seem like that team that'll just win 10, 11, 12, 13 games and then get to the playoffs. And once again, you know, you've got a pop gun arm, Alex Smith, trying to win a game for you against a real defense. So that doesn't happen. It always seems like the Steelers find a way to play the Patriots and then get run off the field in the playoffs, try to play a zone against a team, you know, running the Patriots offensive scheme. So I don't really, man, it doesn't all seem, when we're talking about both conferences here, that there's just, we talked about it a little bit last year, there's such a divide now. It was an NFL blob for a while. Now it just seems that divide is growing again. You have the haves and the have-nots, or at least you have the terribles and the really good teams, and there's maybe that blob in the middle. But I just don't see, I mean, people talk about the Tennessee Titans being like a trendy pick, you know, with Marcus Mariota and that. I don't see them being able to go to Foxborough and winning a playoff game. So when it comes down to it, wow, we're really talking about probably the Patriots going to another Super Bowl and facing whomever decides to get out of the NFC.
Well, and I mean, I think what you talked about with all, like, I think it's a big disparity between really, really good teams and not. And it's because they have really, really good quarterbacks. Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Big Ben, like those guys. And once you have that, you can more easily allocate resources to fill those other holes. So you can afford to maybe overpay a little bit like the Patriots did for Stephon Gilmore this year. Or you could pay for, you know, a receiver or something like that. And you really think about, like, Seattle with how little Wilson was making for those first few years. And really, Rodgers is severely underpaid.
Right.
Who will probably
not for long.
Going to say get an extension a year or two, something like that. But, you know, when you have, and what if Brady always seems to take, you know, $3 million less than he should to let him sign one more guy. With those teams, you have that star, and then you can just build everything around it, find enough defensive guys to make it work for what you need. But knowing that you could score on anybody makes things a lot easier for all those teams, because they literally, like, any of those quarterbacks could score on any defense that have ever played in the NFL.
Do we see any potential regression for Brady? I mean, Mother Nature's undefeated, and the guy is still unbelievable. He lost a real nice security blanket in Edelman.
And Martellus Bennett, too. Like,
and Marty Bennett's gone.
Gronk usually is injured.
Right.
He'll miss three to five games, if not eight to ten.
Right.
I mean, is it possible that they could see some regression there where he's just not as good? I mean, it has to happen at some point, right? The guy is 40? Is he 40
he's
now?
40, 30? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, sure seen that way in the first half of the Super Bowl. Basically up to 3 minutes to go in the third quarter as well. So you're going to think it's going to happen at some point. Oops. You scared me by the pump fake.
All right. We're having some technical difficulties, folks. I'm just going to be straight out with you. But to finish up that thought, okay, so we'll go into our annual, kind of the NFL portion of this this podcast. We'll go into our annual predictions, which are sure to never be correct. Although,
I believe I picked the Arizona Cardinals and the Oakland Raiders in the Super Bowl last year. Just for this.
Man, you know what, though? The Cardinals didn't turn out, but you would have looked like a genius, because not a lot of people were going Raiders before last year, and they were right on pace. I still think they finished with 12 wins, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And with Carr, they win that first playoff game.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it was Texans, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
It was a terrible game.
I did not watch it because I'm like, this is just, there's no point.
The Chiefs, because they're both 12-4.
Yeah, that's right.
So. Yeah. So what are our thoughts here? Dan, you sound like you're a Patriots lean and whoever in the NFC. What do you have an official prediction?
At this point, I would have to get Josh excited and say that the Green Bay Packers are going to make the Super Bowl. I just don't trust the Seattle Seahawks offensive line. And
their left tackle going down with an ACL is huge.
Right, and they weren't good to begin with.
No.
I don't trust trust them at all. So
they have, that's one area. It's such a critical area. And granted, it's mitigated a little bit by how mobile Wilson is. But, man, they have not been able to fix that in years. It's always been a weakness. And granted, some years they've been able to overcome it because they're so strong in other areas.
And it's not like they don't pour draft picks to it. You know what I mean? Like,
they try to convert defensive linemen. They undrafted free agents.
Yes, they're signing. It's like, right, like when the Bears signed Orlando Pace, those type of signings. Oh. You know, like guys who are like over the hill already that are, they try to sign back. Like, oh. Yeah.
So.
All right, so Packers and Patriots. Okay, I like that. Rob?
I'm going to go I just kind of have to go Patriots. Like, I just kind of by default. I don't want to pick them.
No.
I would love to have the Raiders make it because I think Derek Carr and I think Khalil Mack is really fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And I love the Steelers. I've always loved the Steelers for some reason. I think Antonio Brown is great, but I think Patriots are the best team. And I'm going Seahawks. And I'm going with a Seattle win in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Because I think their defense is going to be terrifying.
Because when they're on the goal line, they're going to run him in this time.
Yes.
Is that what they're going to do?
Okay, Eddie Lacy, isn't that right? Yes,
they do have him. Yeah. I mean, he's Marshawn. He's Marshawn Lynch, you
he's
know,
Marshmallow
reincarnated.
Marshmallow.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's got all those clauses in his contract. I don't know, guys. He might be motivated to keep that weight down this
you
year.
You said claws? Bear claws?
Yeah, bear claws, exactly. Yeah, he's got a Danish clause in his head. You know, yeah, I mean, I think I'll go Packers. And then and the thing is, when the bases are loaded and the ball's hit, you kind of have to run there.
Line drive, if nobody out.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was – okay. This is a live podcast. It's just not live to you guys.
If you guys watch the Brewer replay, go to the eighth inning.
At bottom of the eighth, that's right.
Bottom of the eighth and watch.
Yeah, you were right. I was
Keon's
wrong.
At bat.
I was wrong. So basically, you know, I'm going to pick the Super Bowl 31 rematch. The Packers
don't want to
and the Patriots.
Packs. Oh, sorry. 31.
Yeah, 31. Yeah. It's not the Broncos. It's not the Super Bowl 32. Yeah. That would be a bad deal. Nobody thinks the Broncos are ready to do anything, right? Even with that defense.
Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch.
No. Yeah.
Not
right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So it's. And I do have, you know, if I'm going to pick the Packers to get there, I'm going to pick them to win. So, Dan, who do you have winning that? Do you have Brady getting, is this, what would that be, six?
Six.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that's unbelievable. Six trophies. Is he the best quarterback of all time?
Yes.
Or is he just in the best situation? He's great, but is he just in the best situation because of Belichick?
A little of both, probably. I have a hard time naming him the greatest quarterback of all time because he's playing for the greatest coach of all time.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question about that at this point.
Belichick, yeah.
Belichick and Bill Walsh were 1A, 1B for me, and then all of a sudden Belichick has just moved himself to another level for me.
Well, I was going to say, could you play slight devil's advocate and say that Tom Brady has helped make Bill Belichick the best coach?
You could.
Like
I mean,
Joe Montana helped make Bill. Like, is he Bill Walsh if Steve DeBerg is the guy that he tries to build into a superstar?
You've seen him build Matt Castle into something somebody else wanted.
Did go 11-5
right,
with Matt Castle.
Matt Castle's a true. I think he's great.
I think Bill Belichick is great, and he clearly has a system that works really well. But, I mean, like, who's better? Is Brett Favre better?
Oh, absolutely not. No, I don't have him in my category, but that's not mine. No, I'm an Elway fan. That's me.
Yep.
He's my number one of all time. But if you take Tom Brady and you put him on the Tennessee Titans, does he ascend the Tennessee Titans to a team that wins multiple titles? Not on the verge of winning six? I don't think so. That's just my personal.
Here's a little caveat to our best coaches. I just read today, you know, and I'm an aficionado of this, and I don't know if this is true, but I think Vince Lombardi died on this day in whatever it was, probably 1971 or whatever. And that was a guy that obviously had turned around the Packers and was on his way to doing the same thing with the Washington Redskins before he got cancer. And he died when he was, let's see, he died in 1970 when he was 57 years old. So if you think he could have gone, and he was a football lifer. He could have gone till he is 65, right? Coaches do that. 8 or 9 more years, maybe he wins a title with that group that eventually won a title with Billy Kilmer and Sonny Jurgensen. and maybe goes to a third team or maybe wins multiple with the Redskins, he'd have to be considered too, right? I mean, he'd have to be up there.
Mm-hmm. I think he is up there.
He is up there. You're right. I just wonder, you know, I thought he was older than that. I thought he was 65, 66 when he died. He was only 57. He had a lot of years left in the tank. So that's an interesting debate probably for another time and another podcast. But we're going to get ahead of our technical difficulties here and probably say goodbye to this one. We've gone a good solid 30 minutes. It's going to be a fun year. What's your level of excitement for week one, Rob? You've got a tough one, right? Isn't it Atlanta at home? Are you like, I can't wait to sit down in my chair at noon on Sunday and watch this thing? Or are you ambivalent because it's Trubisky is not playing and you guys, it's a tough game? Like where 1 to 10, where are you at?
I mean, I think the first Bear game of the year, I'm always like 7, 8. I mean, yep. It means I get to sit in the basement, make a frozen pizza, and drink Mountain Dew and tell my wife that I'm doing that, right. Which is going to work for like one more year, I think.
Right, right.
But no, I mean, I won't really get jazzed until I know Trubisky's playing.
Yeah.
You know, like when I get the text from my friend Eric that Glenn Baum's got wishboned by somebody on a sack and then Trubisky's coming in, like then I'll get jazzed up for it. But until that point, like it's, you know, it's going to be like last season where I was going to corn mazes and stuff like that on Sundays.
Dan, are you just going to have Red Zone fired up and just, you know, whatever for the game? Or?
Yeah. And the normal procedures have Red Zone and the Bears.
You got the double TV working. It's a good setup. Yeah.
I probably will just focus more on Red Zone this year than I will the Bears. There's some level of excitement from these rookies. I mean, Tariq Cohen's excited. There are some things that are Eddie Jackson can play. Can he stay healthy? Can he not get hurt again? There's some things to be excited about this year. I just don't think the Mike Glennon experience is going to be all that to be part of the excitement.
Right. Absolutely. All right.
His neck is really long.
Merton Hanks. Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Wobble it a little bit as he's out there.
Well, thanks everybody for listening. Now with our new format, I'll have another podcast out early this week, and then later in the week to preview our Friday night football. And you know, hey, we're going to get a baseball podcast in here at some point because the Brewers charging towards the NL wild card is always an exciting thing with about 25 games left. So thanks for joining us, everybody. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.